turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 10. The last time I preached through verses 1 through 4. We talked about the fellowship that we have with God. And that fellowship we have with God, we have with one another, but it's not just a hanging out, it's not just a getting together, but it's a working together. It's a sharing relationship that we have been blessed with. We talked about this testimony. We know that it's true because it was written by those who saw, who heard Christ, who touched Christ, who were with Him. And that idea continues into verse 5. So please look with me at verse 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. Let us pray. Our God, we thank You again for Your word. Our Lord, we thank You for Your truth. Father, and I pray that this morning, that Your Spirit will quicken us and will strengthen us. God, that we'll hear Your word and we will be transformed. God, that our trust in You will be increased. Our trust in Christ's sacrifice for our sins. And God, that as this trust grows, we will be more and more motivated to turn from our sins. Father, not because we hope to earn our salvation or even maintain our salvation, but we will turn from our sins, Father, out of a love for You. Because You have loved us and because of what You have done. We thank You, Father, for what You've done, and we rejoice in You. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. In armies and in battles throughout history, men have worn uniforms. Uniforms give a soldier a sense of identity, and they also distinguish them from the enemy. Well, our works, our good things that we do, it's our uniform. The way we behave, the way we interact with one another, it's your uniform. It doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't save you. But it gives you your identity and it distinguishes you from the enemy. So just like putting on an army uniform doesn't make me in the army, doing good stuff doesn't make anyone a Christian. But our faith in Christ is what makes us a Christian. Our faith in Christ is what saves us. Nothing that we do. But our faith in Christ moves us to wear that uniform, serving one another, loving God, putting off sin more and more. And the plea this morning is, trust in the cleansing power of Christ and turn from your sins. We see in verse 7 and 9, it talks about the power of blood, the power of Christ's blood cleansing us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. In verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Many people have taken this idea that you're purified and you're covered by the blood of Christ to mean Jesus' blood has some magical properties to it. There's even a song saying that one drop of His blood would have been enough to save the world. But He gave it all. This isn't what it's about. This isn't what the atonement's about. This isn't what your forgiveness is about. See, the blood, Jesus' blood, represents His life. And this purification, it's consistent with the teachings of the Old Testament, the sacrificial system, where people were counted as righteous because there was a sacrifice. See, the blood is Jesus' life. In Leviticus 17:11, it says, "For the life of a creature is in the blood. And I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar." It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. The blood is the life. For your sins and you to be covered by the blood of Jesus, it gives you all kinds of nasty imagery if you have a mind like mine. But that's not what it is. It's you standing before the holy God, owing a debt that you cannot pay, and deserving to die. But before the death sentence is carried out, Jesus steps in and says, "No, I am paying the price." And that's what's happened to you if you are in Christ, if you have put your faith in Him. You deserved to die, and Jesus stepped in your place and died for you. You see, it's as if Jesus took the uniform of the enemy of God, the identity of the enemy of God that says, "Guilty." And He put it on, and He stepped in your place. And He took the uniform of the child of God and put it on you. And gave you that identity. See, this is the love. This is the love that you have been shown. The mercy, the grace. With this idea of the identity and the uniform, listen to Isaiah 61:10. "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." See, and a major element of this is you deserved to die. He didn't give you this robe because you deserved it. While you were a sinner, He died for you. And He did it knowing that you were going to continue sinning. He didn't save you because you were going to be perfect after that. See, in verse 9, it talks about the sin purifying you. That's a past tense. It's, bam, God did it. You were purified. You were counted righteous. But in verse 7, the blood of Jesus purifies you. It's active. It's present. Even now, even the sins that you committed this morning, God has counted you righteous. Because of the life of Christ laid down for you. So you are looked upon by God, and He smiles at you because He sees the righteousness of the Son. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and verses 10. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in us. You have to acknowledge and know that your life is peppered with sin. You know, you've sinned today. You will sin before you get out of the service. You will sin before the end of the day. This isn't our goal. This is a sad reality of our hearts. If we say we haven't, we don't, we're not, we are deceiving ourselves. See, every one of us are still in need of confession. None of us have arrived. See, we're in need of confession, repentance, and cleansing. That they're not a part of our lives. We're delusional. If you think you're okay or that you're good enough, you're so messed up. I said that to Leslie, and she said, I don't know if those are the best words. I don't know what else to tell you. But if you think you're okay, if you think you've arrived, if you think you're good enough, you're sicker than you know. There's a documentary program on TLC, and it shows the lives and the treatment of people that are morbidly obese. And they showed this man who was 800 pounds. And for these people, they had to build stretchers to bring them in on. And this man was convinced, I don't have a problem. As he's shoving food in his head, I don't have a problem. And he made the statement, I eat less than anyone else in my house, except for maybe my baby girl. Well, when you think about it, maybe he doesn't have a problem. God, he has a problem. But if you think that you're okay now, if you think that you're good enough now, if you think you've come far enough now, well, maybe you have. See, we're still really, really messed up. See, we still really, really need to take a hard look at our lives. Figure out what needs changed. And figure out what we need to put off. See, in this section of Scripture, John also points out God's holiness. You know, and we should marvel at God's holiness. And this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you. This is verse 5. That God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. It is so hard to get our minds around the idea of God's holiness. Even to get your mind around the idea of something perfect, even a perfect line. How can we even fathom that? It seems like the best way, the closest we can get, is to think of our parents, Adam and Eve. When they were created in the image of God, in His likeness, in righteousness, and in holiness. If you try, you can get your mind there a little bit. Imagine waking up in the Garden of Eden. And right away, your every thought is about pleasing God. You're not wanting to sin. You're not wanting to fight. You're not wanting to pick a fight with someone. You're not wanting to put someone down. And you have the ability to do that. You have the ability to love. And your spouse is with you, and their every thought is about pleasing God with you. And then together you can do that, and you have fellowship with God in the garden. And life is perfect. And your relationship with God is perfect. And your relationship with your spouse is perfect. And your work is laid out for you. You know just what to do and you can do it. This is kind of the idea we have with God's perfection. Because God's perfect within Himself. He's got this perfect relationship. The relationship to the Father and to the Son and to the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit. They are in perfect harmony. And their every single desire is to do what's good and perfect and right. And they have no fear about the past or the present or the future because He has mapped it all out. Not only has He mapped it all out, but He maintains it by the word of His power. This is the perfection and the holiness of God. Now, on one hand, this should give us great comfort, knowing that there's a great God controlling everything. But on the other hand, if you're outside of Christ, and this holiness is going to judge you someday, it's terrifying. You know, and oftentimes our understanding of theology and our understanding of God doesn't seem to play out in our lives. Knowing that God's good and God's holy, and He causes everything to work together for good. And yet we look at the mess that the world's in. We look at people hurt and sick and dying. We see babies dying. We see wars and families rent asunder. People persecuted when they don't deserve it. And yet we say God's holy. And we say God's good and in control. How can we do that? How can we say that? Well, the study of 1 John has been so helpful for me. When I think that John said God is perfect. That God is light and in Him there's no darkness at all. When you think of the life of John. Because John was there when Jesus was crucified. See, John saw the ultimate injustice. He saw Christ murdered. John outlived all the other apostles. Imagine your 11 closest friends that you love, that you have worked with, that you minister with, or have ministered with. Imagine one of them being murdered. Murdered. Unjustly killed because of the word of Christ. Put a name to that. Put a name to someone that you love who labors for the gospel and imagine them murdered. Now imagine that happening 11 times. That is what John lived through. And imagine being taken from everything you hold dear and sent to an island in your old age, an island all rock and no trees, a slave, after losing everyone, then losing everything. And John, who saw Christ and heard God, said, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We can rejoice in God's holiness. We can take comfort. And despite our pain, despite our losses, despite the persecution that you face, God is good and God is holy. There will be judgment. See, there has to be. And because of that, the Scripture calls on you to trust the cleansing power of Christ. Do not presume to go before the throne and think you're good enough. Do not presume to go before the throne and say, I helped a lot of people. Do not presume to go before the throne and say, well, I never killed anyone. Don't even presume to go before the throne and say, well, I was Presbyterian. But go before the throne, trusting only in the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. I said already that verse 7, it's active. The cleansing is active. You are still being cleansed. This isn't a washing. This isn't something that's making you better. This isn't something that's making you be good. But it's the robe. It's the uniform of the Son of God in His righteousness. Put on you. This is the cleansing power of Christ. See, I said in verse 9, it was salvation. You were cleansed. It was done. That's God pulling you out of the pig pen, standing you up and saying, you're not a pig. You're my kid. You're a child of God. In verse 7, the ongoing cleansing is God saying, hey, you're still not a pig. Kind of stink. We're still cleaning you up. See, and we have to live with this. We have to deal with it. Verse 6 and 7 deals with walking in the light. My cry is make a conscious decision. Make a conscious decision to walk in the light. Leaves paths of evil. What I mean by this is, pick out specific sins, even right now, and decide not to do that anymore. And replace these things with godly activity. You know, look at your malice that you have for other people, even specific people or specific groups, and choose to love them. Think of the people that you have spoken against, the people you have badmouthed, and decide to praise them. Think about the things that you have been doing and you know you shouldn't. It's not just stopping it, but it's replacing it. It's replacing it with godly activity. You know, the scripture talks about walking on paths of righteousness. It doesn't just say, stop walking on the dark path. It says, walk in the path of righteousness. You see, our walk should be like going up a forest trail with the tall trees coming overhead. And it's dark and there's some light coming through. But your walk should be like coming out into a field. You're coming into an opening. You're coming into a clearing. Your walk is getting lighter and lighter. Closer. And you're closer to God. See, oftentimes our doctrine, our teaching will give us a stagnation. Not what it's to be. Yes, you are saved by faith and not by works. No, God doesn't give salvation and take it away. But our life and our walk should be getting brighter. So the specific sins, deal with them. Deal with them for real. You see, because these sins, they're actually hatred for God. As you plan it, it doesn't feel like it. You see the fruit hanging on the tree. And it looks good. You even pick it, and it still seems good. You even taste it, and it seems good to eat. But afterwards, you should feel that the line has been drawn in the sand and you have stepped out of the light and you realize you are in shadow. You realize that you're in the camp of the enemy. You realize that you have hated God. And this should be the feeling we have when we sin. And I pray that this is your experience. And if it's not, let's get together and pray. Let's get together and pray that God will soften our hearts. Let's get together and pray that God will give us a more consistent life. A life that longs to please Him and hates it when we sin. Because this is what the Christian life should be. You've got that uniform on, the child of God, so now you want to live like it. You want to make that who you are. As you confess your sins, remember God's faithfulness and righteousness to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We visited family in Jeromesville, Ohio, Friday and Saturday. And my friend, he lays the line down for his kids. If they step out of the line, they'll get a paddle. Well, we heard some goings-ons upstairs where the adults were hanging out. And he went up and he didn't know what was going on, but the kids had been jumping off of a dresser onto a mattress. Good, clean fun, you think. But the kids knew they weren't allowed to do this. The kids knew they weren't allowed to do this. And my buddy sticks his head and says, if you disobey, you get paddled. There, the pastor's daughter was visiting. I don't know that this little girl gets a paddle. She knew that she had disobeyed. And she was convicted that she needed to confess her sin. But she was so afraid of that paddle. She came down to where the adults were sitting, looked at us. Her mother said, what's wrong, honey? And her face contorted. And she burst into tears. and her mother took her away. See, she was afraid of that piece of wood. She was afraid that she was going to get smacked. But this isn't the case with you. You see, the punishment for your sins has already been given. So as you come to God to confess, you know, there's not that fear. God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins when you confess them. You don't have that fear. That's not who you are. You're not the child that's going to get beat by God. You are the child that has been loved. He has promised to forgive you. He has made you righteous. He has cleansed you. That is who you are. So confess your sins and turn from them. So the message is, if you are in Christ, you have been declared clean. If you are in Christ, the uniform of the child of God has been put on you. And you have been declared righteous. You are being declared righteous. You will be declared righteous. So live the life that that uniform deserves. And when you blow it, and you will, confess your sin. Turn from it. This is the message. Trust in the cleansing power of Christ. And turn from your sins. Let us pray. Our God, we rejoice in you. Our great and holy God, we rejoice in what you have done. God, we rejoice that you have cleansed us. We rejoice, Father, that you are cleansing us. We rejoice, Father, in our identity. The identity of your child. We are your children. Because you have cleansed us and declared us clean. My God, and I pray that we will trust in this alone for our salvation. And our trust and our love for you, Father, will cause us to put off our sins. God, not just speaking broadly, but specifically. Those things that cause us to walk in shadow. I pray, God, that they will be thrown away, even now. God, and that our lives will be changed. God, may we leave this place today feeling better, rejuvenated, God, strengthened by your word and by your promise. God, and may we go out living closer to you and rejoicing, serving you with greater faithfulness. It is in Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.